verse 26, that gives the appearance here that God created the man and the woman at the same time, and it was not that way at all. Chapter 1 of Genesis is a summary of the whole creation. A summary of the whole creation. In verse 26, chapter 1 says, God said, let us make man. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Verse 27 says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Then in chapter 2, the Lord shows us the order in which the man and the woman were made. They were not made at the same time. God created a man, one man. He created Adam out of the dust of the earth. The woman was not made from the dust of the earth. She was made from the man. And it says here in Genesis 2, verse 7. Genesis 2, 7. And the Lord God formed man, a man, Adam. The word Adam means man, out of the red earth. He formed man of the dust of the ground. Dust thou art, to dust thou shalt return. That's what Scripture says. Made of the dust of the ground. He made, formed him, made him. And he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living soul. One man. Now the garden, the earth was finished. All of the things he needed to eat, the sun, the moon, the stars, the seasons, all these things were complete. He made that man and put him in the garden. And he commanded that man. See, that man was the head of the whole human race. God never made another man, never created another man. Everything came from Adam. There's Adam, the federal head, we call him, the representative of all men. Everybody's, every human being of every nation, blood, tribe, kindred, nation under heaven, traces their roots back to that one man. God made that man. And he commanded that man. He gave him some commandments. He says here in verse 16, verse 15, Genesis 2, 15, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Can't you imagine the beauty of that place? Didn't rain, didn't storm, didn't snow, didn't sleet, didn't hail. It says that the earth was watered. It went up, verse 6 of chapter 2 said, went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. It was a perfect place, perfect garden. There wasn't any killing and eating meat. See, the herbs were for meat. The things that grew, the trees, and everything was perfect. And God put that man in that perfect garden to dress it and to keep it. You see that, verse 15? In verse 16, and the Lord God commanded the man. Here's the law. Here's the covenant of works. And he said to that man, now every tree of the garden you may freely eat. Eating thou shalt eat. But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Man is here in this perfect place, and man has dominion. He has dominion over the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea. In fact, when that God brought the animals to Adam, he named each one of them. That's what they're called today. Adam was brilliant, genius, a king, a prince, a ruler over all of God's creation. But he had one who ruled over him, and that's the Lord God. And his reverence and worship is to God. And God gave a token. I don't know what the tree was. I don't know where the apple came in. But there was a tree, and I don't know exactly how to describe it. He said, of all the trees of the garden you may freely eat, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat, for in the day thou eatest thereof thou shalt die. All right, here's the man. This man in God's image, this holy and upright man. And there he is in the garden. Perfect, sir, everything's perfect. But then verse 18. And the Lord God said, it's not good that the man should be alone. It's not good to be alone. No one to love. No one to love him. You see, Adam was created in the image of God, and he had love and affection. God is love. And love and affection's got to have an object, got to have someone to love. And love demands to be loved, true love. It can't be a one-way street, you know. That this love wants to love and to be loved. And then there's no one to talk to. There's no one to converse with. You don't talk to a tree. You don't talk to a dog. You don't talk to an animal. No one to share the beauties of the garden. Have you ever been somewhere and seen a beautiful waterfall or something, and you'd say, I wish there's someone here to enjoy that with me? Or you're walking across a field, you're out, one of you men out hunting or fishing, and you come on a beautiful flower and you say, I wish my wife was here to see that, or somebody here to see this and enjoy it with me. Adam had a, think of the wonders of that garden, no one to share it with. No one to enjoy it with him. He'd by himself. No one to say, isn't that beautiful? Touch that. And there was no one to touch. There was no one to embrace, no companion, no togetherness. That's essential for love. There's got to be togetherness. There's got to be companionship. I was talking to a friend of mine on the telephone this morning who's going through a terrible, terrible, terrible experience. Just a great, awful, as terrible experience as a believer can go through. And I just called him. I said, just want you to know I was thinking about you and I love you. And I said, it helps to have a buddy. He said, it helps to have a lot of buddies right now. And he said, I'm finding a lot of strength in my fellowship. Adam didn't have a buddy. No one to help who needed him. No one to need him. No one to help. No one with whom to share his blessing. Love enjoys giving. Our Lord said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. He had received all these things from the Father. There's nothing he could give God. But he had something to give someone else. If there was a someone else. But there wasn't a someone, right? He was alone. Can you imagine being alone? There was no one to give to. No one to comfort. No one to admire. Or of whom to be admired. There was no one to produce others like him. Sons and daughters. He saw the animals had little ones. God told them, you know, multiply and replenish the earth. And he saw the animals had little ones. And the little bear cubs and the little tiger cubs. And I wish I had a little boy like me. You know, see what I'm saying? And that's what God said. It's not good for a man to be alone. Not good for a man to live alone. Well, verse 19, the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called every living creature, that was the name. And Adam gave names to the cattle and the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there wasn't a helpmeet. There wasn't a companion. There wasn't anyone. All right, watch this. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. Now, this wasn't a normal rest. This wasn't a normal sleep. But God put Adam under a deep, deep coma. And only God could do this. Only, see, Adam's created in the image of God. Adam's without sin. Adam's without fault or flaw. And Adam can't go into any kind of distraction or coma or anything like that because Adam is like God. But God could put him under, and God deliberately put him under a deep sleep. And while Adam slept, listen, and as he slept, God took one of his ribs. God performed a divine operation. And God cut into Adam's side here. And he took out that rib. Took out that rib. One of his ribs. Don't get into this thing about how many ribs a man. I read a commentary yesterday. Said Adam had 13 on that side and 12 on the other. Now he's got 12 on each side. You know, that'll be all right with me. You know, if he does, he doesn't. Don't lose the beauty of it. Here he lies in a deep coma, and God cut into his side and took out a rib and closed up the flesh. He bears no scar. That second Adam's got scars. Not this Adam. He bears no scar. He bears no scar. He didn't have anything to do with this. God did it all. And he bears no scar. And he said he closed up the flesh, and the rib, verse 22, which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman and brought her to the man. Now, God didn't create you women like he did the man. God created the man from the dust of the earth, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. He became a living soul. He became a federal head. He became a representative of a whole race. But the woman, he took the man. I don't know how long Adam was alone in that garden, but I do know the woman was taken from the man. Now, this is not the start of a new order. She's a female. She's different from the man, but this is not a new order, a new race. It's a continuation of the race God had already created. The man. She's the woman. She's Isha out of Ish. She's the woman out of the man. He took her from the man. She's the woman taken out of the man. And he didn't take her from a man's head. He didn't operate on Adam's head and take the woman from a part of his head to rule over him. And you notice he didn't operate on Adam's feet and take her from one of his toes to be trampled under by him. But he took the woman from the man's side to walk with him, to be equal with him. That's right. See, the Lord Jesus Christ sits at the right hand of the Heavenly Father at his side. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And yet, the Father's the head of the Son. He's the head of Christ, and yet equal. And the woman was taken from the man's side, not reign over him, not to be trampled under him, but his side to be equal with. And he took the woman from under the man's arm to be protected by him. That's right. Under his arm. His arm protects her. We're supposed to protect our wives and watch over them and care for them. And he took her from a rib close to his heart to be loved by him. Isn't that right? That's close to his heart. Somebody else was cut in the side, and out came blood and water for somebody he loved. But we'll get to that in a minute. And then it says, verse 22, look at that again. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and he brought her to the man. God's gift. God's gift. You know, Doris was teaching the class back here several years ago. And I tell you how long ago it was, Amy and Abby Simpson. You notice in the bulletin this morning, Amy has a little girl. Well, I think Amy is the one that said this. Amy or Abby won. But there's this little kid, 7 or 8 years old. And Doris was teaching them about the Lord Jesus Christ, God's unspeakable gift to the world. God's unspeakable gift. The Lord Jesus Christ. He gave his son. He told other world he gave his son. When she got through, she looked around and she said, now what's God's greatest gift to man? And one of these young ladies, little girl, when she was a little girl, she raised her hand. Darcy said, Abby, what's God's greatest gift to man? She said, woman. Well, that's close, isn't it? That's second greatest gift. Second greatest gift. He brought her to the man. It's a gift of. Would you abuse the gift of God? Would you not receive with thanksgiving the gift of God? He brought her. He said, My, Adam must have been dazzled by her, mustn't he? He'd never seen anything like that. But he brought her to the man. Brought her to the man. Let me hold that right there. Let me take you over to 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11. Let me take you over here and read something. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 7 and 8. 1 Corinthians 11, 7. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he's the image and glory of God. But the woman's the glory of the man. Watch this now. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman is of the man. Neither was a man created for the woman, but the woman is God's gift. He created for the man. Now, let's don't rebel against the Word of God. I'm just telling you what it says. Isn't it clear so far? I haven't added anything, have I? Or taken anything away? Just told you the truth. And now back to Genesis 2. Now, verse 23, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Adam says, she's part of me. She's bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. We're one. That's the reason Paul could command a man to love his wife as he loves himself. Because no man yet ever hated himself. They're one flesh, one body, one bone, one blood. That's what he said. Therefore, she's loved and she's cherished as a man loves himself and provided for as a man provides for himself. And when he said a man leaves his father and mother, that doesn't mean he deserts them. That doesn't mean he doesn't care for them anymore. That doesn't mean he doesn't provide for them anymore. That doesn't mean that he isn't interested in their well-being. Here's what he's saying. Adam is now the head of his own family. See, when he lived in the home there with his mother and father, his father ruled over him. His father, he was a child in the home, but now he's taken a wife and he has his own family. He's the head of his own family. He provides for his own family. He's not to look to his mother and father. He provides for his own. He's a responsible person. And this woman is his wife and his maid and the mother of his children. And those are separate. You see that? And when there's conflict, he takes the side of his wife. And the woman can rest in his care. He provides for her. Let me just read you a passage over here. I can turn more quickly to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Listen. Likewise, you husbands, dwell with your wives according to knowledge, giving honor to the wife as the weaker vessel. Now, ladies, you don't have to get a job on the highway and stand out there and run a backhoe to prove you're equal to the man. You're not. You're a weaker vessel. Take that place and enjoy it. One lady told me, she said, I don't want to be liberated. I enjoy being pampered. And God made you to enjoy being pampered. You're a weaker vessel. I'm not saying you're weaker mentally, anything like that. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not a male chauvinist pig. I'm a pig. I'm a male. But I'm just saying, the man looks upon his... Like a man opened the door for a lady one time. She said, you don't have to open that door for me because I'm a lady. He said, I didn't. I opened it because I'm a gentleman. Give honor to the wife as the weaker vessel and as being heirs together with you of the grace of God and the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. A man that's unreasonable and unkind to his wife wastes his time praying because God doesn't hear him. That's what to say. He's wasting his time. He might as well call on the wind. All right, let's go back to our text, Genesis chapter 2, verse 25. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. They were as they were created. God made the man, and he made the woman out of the man. They needed no clothes to protect them. See, sin hadn't come into this world. They needed no protection. They needed no clothes to conceal any part of their body, which God had made. God made everything, and He made it good. He made it beautiful. And there was no need to cover up that which God had made. And they were not ashamed because they were of the same nature. They were the same male and female, flesh and bones and blood and bone of bone and flesh of flesh. And there was nothing in them to cause them to be ashamed. There was nothing in them to cause them to be guilty, no sin in their nature, no guilt in their conscience, no wickedness in their thoughts or actions. So they were not ashamed. But it didn't last long, did it? I don't know how long it lasted, but chapter 3 is an awful chapter. And we'll take up at verse 7. And the eyes of them both were open, both the head of the race and his woman who was taken from him. She sinned and she gave to her husband. He sinned. And then they knew where they were naked. Uh-oh. Sin, guilt, shame, fear, hatred, all these things. That's where it happened. By one man, sin entered the world. By Adam now, not by Eve, by Adam. She was deceived, but he wasn't. He did this willingly. He acted willingly, knew what he was doing. Didn't he, John? And the whole race fell in him. By one man, sin entered the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men. And death by sin. And by one man's disobedience, we were all became sinners. And so they soaked fig leaves together and made them aprons. They heard the voice of the Lord God calling in the cool of the day. Adam and his wife hid themselves in the presence of God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God said, Adam, where are you? So he said, I heard your voice and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. He said, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree? Where have I commanded you? You should not eat. God knew that. He wanted to hear it out of Adam's mouth. Man said, the woman you gave me. Boy, he was making love a while ago, and now he puts the blame. This is now bone of my bone. Her fault. It's really your fault because you gave her to me. That's what he's saying. Isn't that terrible how he's changed? Sin will do that. She gave me a tree and I ate it. And God said to the woman, what's this thou hast done? And the woman said, well, a serpent beguiled me. It's his fault. And I did eat. And the Lord God said to the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I'll put enmity, oh, I love this verse, between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It'll bruise your head, and I shall bruise his heel. Unto the woman I'll greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In sorrow you'll bring forth children, and your desire shall be to your husband, and he shall rule over you. And then he said, Adam, because you've hearkened to the voice of your wife, and you've eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for your sake. In sorrow you shall eat of it all the days of your life. And thorns and also in thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you'll earn bread. You'll eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, and dust you art, and to dust you shall return. That's a dark picture, isn't it? Well, I tell you this. There's another Adam. That one and his mate made a mess out of things. But there's another Adam. Yes, sir. And if, I tell you, if we can read what we've read and enter into what God's shown us, then we can go to this next step. And I'm going to take you into something beautiful. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Thank God the story doesn't end there. There's another Adam. There's another Adam. And there's going to be another divine operation. God's going to take out of him a bride. In 1 Corinthians 15, it says, Verse 21, 1 Corinthians 15, 21. Since by man came death, by a man will come the resurrection. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But this Christ is called an Adam too. Did you know that? Look at verse 47. Verse 45 of that same chapter, 1 Corinthians 15, 45. As it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, and the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first, it was spiritual. The second Adam wasn't first, but that which is natural, and after that, the spiritual. In other words, the Adam that came from the dust of the ground was first, and the Adam that came from heaven was second. Now read on. The first man is of the earth, earthy. Second man's the Lord from heaven. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, by God's grace, we're going to bear the image of the heavenly. But something's got to happen. Something's got to take place. All right, that second Adam is not going to be alone in his kingdom. There's a second Adam, man. The God-man. This is a covenant God made before the world began. This was a covenant God made before that first fiasco there of Adam and Eve. This is a covenant God made way back there, the man, Christ Jesus. He's not going to be alone. God has decreed and determined that he shall have a people to love and by whom to be loved and to communicate with and to fellowship with. And to enjoy the things that God will give him in that new heaven and new earth, that new garden. Someone to be comforted. Someone to admire and to be admired. Someone like himself. God had determined that he'll have a people and predestinate them to be like Christ. To fellowship with him, to reign with him. But now something's got to happen. So the Lord God made him a body. Made him a body. He said, a body thou hast prepared me and sent that man down into this world. Woman was made from a man. And the man came from a woman. Isn't that something? How marvelous are the ways of our God. He was made under the law, made of a woman to redeem them born under the law. He took flesh and bone. You know, Adam said, this is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. Christ took bone and bone, flesh, and flesh, like us, and became a man. All right, here's the God-man, the second Adam. And God caused a deep sleep to come upon him. Only God could do it. That sleep was death. The Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross. He said, no man takes my life from me, I lay it down. I have power to lay it down and take it up. My Father gave me this commandment. And so it pleased the Lord to bruise him. And on that cross, he opened his side. Put nails in his hands and in his feet and opened his side. And from that side came blood to cleanse and water to sanctify. And he made him a woman, a bride. That's right. Turn to Ephesians 5. Let me show you this. He said, preacher, can you do this? Paul did. Ephesians chapter 5. Now listen. Ephesians 5:22. Only God could put that first Adam under where he went and took that woman out of his side. Only God can take the Christ and put him on a cross. Used wicked hands of wicked men. But Ephesians 5:22 said, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband's the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. He's the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. What did he do? He gave himself his blood to justify and the water to sanctify. That he may present it to himself. What did, when Adam took that woman out of the side of Adam, when God took that woman out of the side of Adam, and he came to, and God brought her to him, Look at verse 27. That he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So men ought to love their wives as their own body. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. No man ever hated his own flesh. He nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, his flesh, his bone. What did Adam say when God brought Eve to her? Bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. And this church, which he purchased with his own blood. And when he's on that cross, I verily believe there's a relationship here. That soldier took that spear and pierced his side, and out came blood and water. And that blood, what's it for? It's not for show. It's to cleanse and purify his church. And that water, what does it represent? His word that sanctifies his church. It came out of him. Out of him. And you know something? Read on. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. And you know, Adam and Eve stood there, and they were not ashamed. They were not ashamed because they had no sin in their nature, no guilt in their conscience. Inward holiness made an outward covering unnecessary. Turn with me to 1 John 2:28. Let's see about the church. Do we have any reason to be ashamed? His Bible says over and over again, he that believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be put to shame. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be confounded or no shame. 1 John 2:28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he's righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. So let me tell you something. We have the righteousness of Christ. And therefore, in his presence, we're not ashamed. Adam and Eve, there was Adam, the head of the race. There was Eve, his bride, his wife. And they were not ashamed. No guilt, no sin, no wretchedness, no corruption, no wickedness, and they were not ashamed, though they had no outward covering. So the righteousness of Christ, now listen to me, is not an outward covering and garment to cover evil. No. The righteousness of Christ is an inward holiness that makes an outward covering unnecessary. That's right. An inward holiness. You say, those who are his are not ashamed because we're holy and unblameable. We have this flesh, and this flesh has to be covered. It has to be covered because of its corruption. It has to be covered because of the flesh that we are and the fleshly thoughts that we have and the fleshly things that we do. But one day, this old nature, this old man that came from Adam is going to be put in the dust from whence it came, like Adam. And that new holy nature which he gave and which he gives, that righteousness and holiness of God, not going to need any covering. That's right. Not going to need any covering. I'll be satisfied when I awake with his likeness. So the righteousness of Christ, the holiness of Christ, and I know we often describe it as his robe of righteousness, which is fine. But it's more than that. It's not a pasted-on appearance. No, sir. That new man is holy. That new man is perfect. That new man ain't going to be. He is perfect. He is holy. And when this covering of flesh dies and you put it in the ground, the new man goes to be with Christ. And he's perfect. And let me tell you this. In Christ, there's neither male nor female. In the kingdom of God, there's neither male nor female. So, whatever place, I have a place to fill, a responsibility to perform. I have a walk to walk. I have a word to believe. I have a Christ to trust. I have a day to fulfill. I have a death to die. But I got a hope. in which to rest. And we're all one in Christ. So let's believe the Word, receive the Word, and walk in the Word, and rejoice in the Word, and let God be God, because that's our only hope. Our hope's right here in what I've read this morning, that second Adam, from his side, you know, that was a beautiful picture as Adam lay there and God brought this lovely creature to him. She shall be called woman. She's taken out of man. Well, his bride was taken out of him too. But nothing's going to happen to that relationship. Thank God. It'll be forever. Thank God. And that's a divine operation. That's not something I can do for you or you can do for me or we can raise hands and decide we're going to do this morning. It's something God does. And he does it in here. I love the Word of God, don't you? I rejoice in the revelation of his precious Word. And this is the only way it can be. It's a miracle. The new creation, he calls it. New creation. Behold, I make all things new.